Welcome to Hakuna Lorcana, a worry-free podcast about the Disney stories we love and the Lorcana cards they inspire. I'm Caleb.
And I'm Katie. Today is our very first episode where we will introduce ourselves and kick off what we're officially calling Episode Zero. But before we quest into the lore, Caleb, how is your lore count this week?
Not Savannah. Sorry, I didn't tell you I was going to do that, but I just feel like
it had to happen.
Like, if
I won't match that energy,
well,
but I do appreciate the
energy. I thought
we'd
just kick it off that way. Anyways, where's my lore count at? Well, I'll tell you, I think my lore count is at 16. The week was going good, and then life just played an Elsa Spirit of Winter on me, and I got frozen and just couldn't quest anymore after Elsa got played on me. So there was this like huge blizzard in Colorado this week, and we got like 2 feet of snow or something like that. And I didn't go to work for 2 days. And then our power was out for like 28, 29 hours, something like that. So our house got down to like 55 degrees. So yeah, it was cold. Elsa definitely put one of her little spells on Southern Colorado. Well, it was really the whole Front Range, I think, that got nailed. So,
yeah. Well, it's tricky because, like, I live an hour away from you up north, and it wasn't as bad. And I felt bad because you're like, I'm suffering, my power's out. And meanwhile, I'm like, I'm fine.
Yeah. Well, you know, such as living in Colorado.
I know, but they canceled League, which was very
sad. They did
sad.
Cancel League. That was a disappointment. You know, there was going to be a promo night, and I'm not going to say I'm upset about it because there was no way I was going to make it up. So, you know. Hopefully they'll be dishing out the promos when I'm able to be there. But it's been a good week, and I've had a lot of fun playing Lorcana this week. I put together these like double feature decks, which I hope at some point we can, you know, kind of dive into those. I want to kind of talk about what that looks like. But I made a Simba/Beast deck, like an Amber Steel deck. That was pretty fun to play. I played that with some friends, and then I also built a Titans Jafar Amethyst Steel deck, and that deck actually has some gas to it, surprisingly enough. There's quite a bit of card draw, and you know, with like a Long Came Zeus, you still have some like spot removal, and so it actually was like working pretty well. So that was super fun. And I think the competitive deck that I want to play right now, the jury's still out, but I'm really liking Ruby Sapphire, so I've been trying to like hone that in and trying to do some stuff there. I actually think the legendary Grandma Tala card is like underutilized in that deck. I don't see a lot of people running her, and I actually think that that's a good one. But anyways,
I am interested in the Grandma Tala because it seems that card's interesting to me because it seems like a late game ramp, so I'm interested to see how that plays out.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is like obviously you want to be ramping early so you can get to your bigger cards sooner than your opponent, but also you can still like ramp and get the lore from it. And yeah, I don't know. There's something there. It's like uninteractable lore. You know, it's kind of like playing Goat, but in Sapphire a little bit. So I don't know. I think there's something there. Anyways, Katie, what about you? Where's your lore count at this week?
You know, I would say it's a solid 10. Okay. You know, it was a very average week. It was sad not having League because that's like my little like carrot on the end of the week stick.
Sure.
We have League at our local game store on Friday. So if I can get to Friday, like Thursday night, I'm thinking about trades. Then Friday, I'm like, we're going to League. So it's like a little fun reward. But like Caleb said, they did postpone it in the sense that our promo night will be next week. Because last night I was making the calculation of like, okay, how much is a promo worth to me?
Yeah,
will I
exactly.
And the answer is I was going
yeah,
to.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I was like, I'll do
it's
it.
It's worth maybe swerving off the road for, you know.
Possibly, yeah. Because, I mean, at least I'll have the promo to keep me warm in my car as I wait for safety. I also finally started playtesting Chapter 3 decks. I feel very bad that, I mean, I've already, like, built up my collection. We've done sealed and draft. But I've been dragging my feet on actually building and playing a deck because I'm just, you know, it's the shift of the lands just made me very intimidated.
Yeah.
To jump in, I'm like, it feels like a whole different game.
Oh, for
like
sure.
I'm learning
it locations are kind of like anxiety inducing a little bit. Like, that's the one thing I've kind of discovered with my Ruby Sapphire deck is like, if I don't have Maui in hand and a fish hook on the field, like, you know, that McDuck Manor comes down and I'm having a tough time figuring out something to do with it. So I'm trying to like squeeze in some more Rush characters just so that I can figure something else out. That Steel, yeah. That Steel Rise of the Titans card is a really good card just for getting it out of there.
Well, yeah, and I've been playing Amethyst Emerald.
Okay.
And it's a bummer because there's like no removal. Yeah. So when I see a land, I'm like, just ignore it. There's no time.
Exactly.
Just
we don't have time for this.
I'm like, I don't have it. Yeah. So there's no, I've been playing Amethyst Ruby and that one, you have so much removal, so much power. Yeah. And so going from that to being like, the best I can do is send it back to your hand and then wait a turn to see it again. And there's so many cards right now that have effects that come into play. So I'm like, do I want to bounce something when you're going to play Madame Medusa and mess me up again?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't want to bounce that card. That sounds terrible. I don't want it to come back at all. So that's been fun. Finally, getting into those cards. I love this set. I love the art. I love everything about
it's
it.
Super
it's just
fun.
That going from... It's just weird going from being like, I know Lorcana and I know the meta until this deck. I'm like, it's all new. And it's...
Yeah, the meta feels just like wide open right now. And it really does feel rock, paper, scissory. Like any deck I build, I'm like, man, I feel like I can beat these two or three other decks. But if I face this one or two decks, then like I'm toast, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And Pixelborn, it messes with you because you see your matchup before you play.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to
speak. Yeah, exactly.
Actually, so.
Yeah. We're going to give this three turns, and if I don't like it, then peace out.
Yeah. Especially, if it's against a control deck, I'm like, this is going to be a bad time. I'm going to be playing this match for the next 20 minutes, and I'd like to leave now if I can. but all in all, it's been fun. And I think that's why I really like Pixelborn, is because it kind of gives you that sandbox where it's not the same as playing in person.
Yeah.
But it lets you like get to see a deck and test it out in a way that you really can't do if you don't have Pixelborn.
Yeah. For sure. That's why I really like it. Like getting to know like how cards interact with each other and everything. It really is nice. It doesn't bring me nearly as much joy as like playing against you and all of our friends at League, but it's, you know, it's something at least.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's like, it's like the training camp and then you get to the real world. And then ultimately I find out that it's a little bit different once you're in against a person. I feel like as much as I know my deck, I feel like I know it less when I'm playing it in person because it just everything feels a little different.
So exactly.
It's two different worlds. So one thing that I wanted to kind of do for our first episode, or rather what we're lovingly calling episode zero, we want to talk about why we want to do this podcast.
Yeah.
So Caleb, to start, why did you want to start a podcast about Lorcana?
Great question. So I've never played a TCG before, never thought I really would. And then like on the day the game released, I was just like on socials or something. And like, you know, the algorithm fed me something about Lorcana and I saw it and I was like, oh, there was just something that clicked. And so I was actually able to find cards on the Saturday that it released, whatever that Saturday was in August, and like played my first starter deck. And like, I knew I wanted to collect the game for sure, and I know you and I are pretty passionate about collecting and like foil sets and everything like that, but it didn't take me long to like recognize that this game is incredibly fun and incredibly playable. And so I just like, where can I play this game? And that's where I found Petri's, you know, in Colorado Springs. And I was working in the Springs at the time, so I was like, okay, I'm going to get off work and then I'm going to go to Petri's and it's going to be a great time. Then, you know, I like obsess over my hobbies. Always have. Like before this one, it was fantasy football. I would listen to like so many fantasy football podcasts and stuff, but we don't need to talk about that. But I basically took my habits from that and then imported them into Lorcana. So I'm like watching all the YouTubers, I'm listening to all the podcasts. Like I want to know like what everybody thinks about the decks and the cards and stuff. And I'm listening to people and I'm like nodding my head. But then sometimes I'm like, wait a second, I don't agree. Like, I don't think that's right. And I'm like, dang it, I have opinions. And I just like love talking about this game. And I finally like got the courage to think like, okay, I want to do this, but I want to do this like with somebody. I want a co-host that's also like equally as passionate about this game, if not more passionate about Disney than I am, you know. And I was trying to think through all the people that I've met and have played with, and I was like, oh, I gotta ask Katie. Like, that's who I need to like, because she's going to like actually get this thing off the ground, I think, instead of me just like dragging my knuckles. And so I asked you, and then I remember like messaging you in Discord, and you were just like, yeah, let's do it.
I know. Well, and I felt it was kind of you activated the trap card because then I was like, did you know I've been to Disney every year since 2010? Yeah,
exactly.
And I was like, I collect pins. I do this. And you're like, okay. Yeah. You knew, you could tell, you could smell it on me that maybe I was a big Disney fan. But then I opened up Pandora's box of how deep it goes.
And I love it.
And it is. And one thing you brought up is the diversity in this game is very exciting to me. You know, I used to play Magic the Gathering, and this is not going to be a Magic the Gathering disc, but it's an older game and it has a pretty established group. When you walk in, it can be people who've played for 10 years, people who, you know, are very seasoned and feels kind of like almost academic. Mm. People who know Magic are very, very, they've known it. So with Lorcana, it was so exciting to have a game where you could get in at the ground level. You get to be, there's no catching up. Even now, it's still fresh. Mm. So it was so exciting for me to be able to get in at the beginning of a TCG and then show up to League. That was such a exciting thing to me because I'm a transplant in the sense that my husband was military, so he moved around. I don't know a lot of people. So I showed up to League and it was all these really great people who were nice. Yeah. And so, I mean, it's hard because, I mean, Lorcana and League just go hand in hand for me because it's been a way to meet people like yourself and other people, trade cards, talk about all the fun things with Disney. I mean, one thing you'll hear me talk about is I'm a huge Disney parks person. Yeah. I will be an advocate for, I'm just hoping one day that they'll do a Disney parks related to Lorcana set.
Yes.
So there's things that there's so much overlap and there's so many ways to enjoy Lorcana and all of them are right. And that's something you'll hear me say all the time is there's no wrong way to enjoy it. Whether you're a collector, whether you're somebody who just likes to build fun decks. Yeah. There's some people in our league that build the funniest decks that I think are so fun to look at and play against.
Yeah.
There's other people who are like, I am going to win a tournament. And I'm like, good for you.
Yeah,
exactly. So like, it's all fun.
Exactly. And that's like, that's the beauty of it all. Like that's something I really, you know, you and I are on the same page about this. Like, we really want to advocate, like, however you want to interact with Lorcana, like, go for it, because there are probably several other people that want to engage the game like you do. It can be sometimes hard to find those people, but, like, if you have a decent card game store to go to and whatnot, then those people are there. And, yeah, whether it's, like, you want to, you know, win the whole kit and caboodle, or you just want to like earn some promos and you know, trade with your friends and, you know, play at the kitchen table. Like, it's all super fun. And I can tell they like design the cards for like everybody, you know, because not every card is competitively viable. And I think that's fine because they're like, the cards aren't, not every card is meant to service that community, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, that's my favorite thing about this game is, because it's got that layer of Disney on top of it, you bond with the cards and pick favorites in ways that maybe you wouldn't with something like a Magic the Gathering or Flesh and Blood, where it's creating its own world. This is building on top of a world you already know. You already have like that kind of history with. So that's why it's been fun. And I'm excited to have a podcast where we can talk about Lorcana, talk about how it ties into Disney, where it's at, what we want to see. So our plan for this podcast is each week we want to talk about a Disney movie and how it ties back to Lorcana. Yeah. How is it represented in Lorcana? Also talk about some lesser known facts. I am a huge fan of saying, did you know? So that's going to be something we want to do. And we'll talk about what we love about the movie and how we want to see it represented. Because everybody, you know, Jafar fans are eating.
Yes.
You know, Jafar is very represented.
Oh, and I was, but, you know, I was, man, all these beast cards, you kidding me? Like,
they're feeding you well.
Floodborne, Rise of the Floodborne set, I was just like, oh, this is the bee's knees, you know? So, yeah, I just think like that relationship between the movies and the cards is so special, and it should really be highlighted. So I think that's, you know, really what we're trying to do.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, one thing that in the TCG community you'll hear is flavor. Mm-hmm. And this game is gushing with flavor.
All the flavor.
It is Flavor City. So, yeah. So that's something we'll highlight is, you know, there's so many cards where maybe they don't have meta competitiveness, but I love
it. But it's still awesome.
I want that. Yeah. I'm going to put it in a deck.
And that's where like the double feature decks that, you know, we'll get into at some point, like really shine. because it's like, oh, look at this flavor play. You know, it's like with these cards that have a lot of synergy from the same movie. And even though it might not be like this most optimal play, it's still like super fun that you can play a Popsicle and then banish it with Judy Hopps and then bring it back with Nick Wilde. I mean, it's like, come on. Like, that's so cool.
It feels good. Like, it feels satisfying to be like, look what I did. And then you also have the interplay between movies. Like, you can't not laugh at a Maui killing a Lilo. It's just the most ridiculous. It's just nonsensical.
Nonsensical. Yeah, exactly. Jafar singing A Whole New World. I mean, come on.
It's perfect. Yeah. And sometimes if you get me in the right mood, I'm going to try to do an impression of it. So, because I think that should be.
Well, canon. I already did our first song impression today, so.
That's true. We'll keep it to one per episode. You don't want to get all the impressions in one episode. So one thing we want to do is in each episode, we're going to do a top three facts about the movie. But today, we're going to do top three facts about us. We want to let you know kind of what's our baseline. What do we like? So we're going to start with our three favorite movies. And that's in the Disney world. So Caleb, what is your top three movies?
Okay. Now, this changes anywhere from like a week to week basis to an hour by hour basis. But, you know, we're going to... I think I got three. And also, listeners, you're going to immediately identify us as, you know, millennials, and that's fine.
You can smell it on us. We are who we are.
And so I'm going to start out by saying my number three is Treasure Planet. Absolutely love Treasure Planet. It's one of my comfort movies. It's like Sunday afternoon or something, and I'm like wanting to take a nap. I'll literally throw on Treasure Planet, and like it's just so much fun, and Jim Hawkins is so relatable, and like the whole adventure of the movie is just so much fun to follow along with. And the song that's in there, I'm Still Here, I think like the guy from the Goo Goo Dolls did that song or something, and you know that like the like teenage Caleb just like always is like weeping when he hears that song.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
So
the guy from the Goo Goo Dolls is like, I have a name.
Yeah, exactly. We'll figure it out. Yeah. Could I have found that out before we logged on? Maybe.
I haven't seen that movie, so I'm very excited. That's one thing that I can't wait for when we get to episodes where it's like, you're
kind of get to
it's going to be the first time. I've stopped watching every Disney movie because I'm like, I can't. I have to wait. And so that way you get a fresh take.
Yes. Actually, can I give you a little something about the movie? A little quick fact?
Yeah.
So this card actually got an Enchanted, so the RLS Legacy, the name of the ship, it is called the RLS Legacy because Treasure Island was written by Robert Louis Stevenson. Did you know that?
I love that. I didn't. Well, I mean, I don't know anything about it, so that's everything's a fact. But yeah, I
kind of a fun little.
we might double dip. I'll pretend I don't know that fact for.
Okay.
When we cover that,
we'll run it
movie.
Back.
Yeah. I'll be like, I've never heard that before. So okay, so that's
my number three.
Number three.
Number one and number two are real neck and neck for me, because they both hold very special places in my heart. But I'm gonna have to say number two is Beauty and the Beast. Absolutely love Beauty and the Beast. Favorite Disney princess is Belle, like hands down. Mm-hmm. Beast is again a very relatable character, and I think that's why my top three is my top three, like the male like protagonist or like main character. I don't know, there's something that I vibe with that guy, and so Beast is definitely someone like one of my favorite characters for sure. And actually the first dance at my wedding with my wife was the Beauty and the Beast title song with Mrs. Potts singing it, Tale as Old as Time. Yeah, that was our first dance. So, you know, I don't get to have like quite as much Disney history as you do with like the parks and stuff, but I at least have that.
I mean, it's beautiful. Yeah. And then it's sentimental because when you hear it, you're like, this is technically my
exactly.
song.
Exactly. You know, and I might mention that song here in a little bit. And then my number one movie is The Lion King. I mean, come on. I came up with Hakuna Lorcana, and I just love The Lion King. It was the first film that I saw in the movie theater. And I know it kind of scares some people, especially like younger kids. And like having rewatched it, I'm like, yeah, I could see like why this could be a scary movie.
There's a heaviness to it. There's a seriousness
to Lion King. There really is. I just love the movie. And my mom retells this story. I was in the theater and the very last fight scene between Simba and Scar, I'm like out of my seat. And I'm like, I got my my claws in the air and I'm like growling like with them, and like everybody in the theater is like cracking up at like little 3-year old Caleb or something.
It's going absolutely feral.
Yes, exactly. Just like loving it so much. So yeah, those are my top three movies. Number 3, Treasure Planet, number 2, Beauty and the Beast, and number 1, Lion King. So yeah, Katie, I'll turn it over to you. Tell me about your top three.
Well, it's interesting that your number 3 was Treasure Planet, because my number 3, I feel like, is, you know, in the same kind of category.
Yeah.
It is Atlantis, which is another one based on, it's a very Jules Verne-esque movie. And so for me, the tone of that movie was just so different than all the other Disney movies at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even think there's a song. Like, if you said, I don't think there's any music
in it.
Yeah,
they broke the mold for that one.
And they broke the mold and then they put the mold away, because I don't think it caught the way that they hoped. Because that was kind of at the end of a big hype period for Disney. And so for me, though, it just stuck with me because I was such a big fan of, like, you know, Journey to the Center of the World. And yeah, I just thought it was such a good movie. And it's fun because I'll show it to other people, and I think, you know, if they don't like it, I take it a little personal.
I know,
it's
exactly.
It's one of those kind of movies. Yeah, and you're like, oh, okay. Well.
Yeah.
So that's my number 3. Number 2, this was tricky. I'm going to go with Princess and the Frog. And that one is because
great movie.
It was the last animated, like the true animated Disney princess movie.
The 2D has a princess.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's so pretty, and the music's so
fun. Yes. Everybody's singing all over the place. The villain sings. It's great.
It's right. It's one of the most well-balanced Disney movies, as far as, you know, it's got all the check marks of, like, good music, good characters, good villain. A good villain is, you know, sometimes there's not a good villain, and this is a perfect villain.
Yes.
I recently was in New Orleans 2 weeks ago, and I was like, I'm going to get beignets. I was like, I can't believe they built a whole city after this movie.
I know. It's
That's
amazing.
So crazy.
It really is a good movie. Great pick.
Yeah. And then number 1 is one where it's undebatable for me. It's Lilo and Stitch. I'm a big Stitch head. I don't know if that's our official term for Stitch fans, but I know there's millions of us, because it's such a perfect movie about misfits. Lilo is such a little icon of just being a little girl that doesn't fit in.
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm like, look at her. She's not getting along with other girls, and she really likes her dog. And I'm like, that's okay.
Exactly.
And it's got so much. It's so beautiful. I love the background. I love the art style. It's very
so
unique
good.
Compared to other Disney movies. So, yeah, I will. Anytime there's Stitch, if there's not Stitch, I'm disappointed. And if there is Stitch, I like it.
Yep.
It's like, I don't even need to read the card. I'm like, yeah, obviously, whatever this card is, I like it. So those are my top 3. We got Atlantis, Princess and the Frog, and Lilo and Stitch. But knowing that, you know, depending on the hour, the 2 and 3 could probably change, because, you know, it's you know, they're all good. But those are my 3. Now, the next one we want to talk about is kind of an overlap a little bit between Lorcana and Disney movies, and that is songs. So I'm excited about songs, because songs are, you know, one of the things that makes Lorcana Lorcana.
Yes.
No other TCG has songs. And so my 3 songs are very interesting, because they're 3 movies that, like, I like, but they're not even close to my favorite Disney movies. But the songs are just so good. So number 3 is The Bells of Notre Dame.
Oh my gosh.
Which is
what
an insane. Yeah, and it's such an insane Disney movie, because, you know, Victor Hugo, you know, is not normally, you're like,
oh yeah,
children
Disney.
Love Victor Hugo. Yeah. So, but that song is just, when it comes on, I'm like, oh, it just, it gets me. It's so good. It's just a great song. The movie is bizarre, and I'm, you know, hopefully one day it'll be in Lorcana so we can do an episode on it.
Yes. I really hope so. That movie is so good, and it's not nearly as popular as it should be. It's such a good movie.
Yeah, and it's so insane for a Disney movie.
I feel like insane is a very good word for that movie. It's, it's wacky in so many ways, and it's so good.
Yeah, the villain is a cleric.
Yes,
a church official.
I know. They're like getting into some like deep stuff here. They're not like making up a religion either to like dig on it. It's like, oh, no, this is medieval France, or, you know, like.
So the second song is so similar to that, because it's also another one where Disney's like, you know what, let's make a movie based on like a real world thing. And that is Just Around the River Bend.
So good.
By Pocahontas. I don't know if Pocahontas wrote it, but in the movie Pocahontas.
Yeah.
when I hear it, it's so exciting. This one's kind of a tie between Just Around the Riverbend and Colors of the Wind.
Okay.
Because the songs in that movie are great. Oh, they're so good. It's movie question mark. I think it's one that people could do a whole podcast on. You know, can you have a Lorcaner card on a technical historical figure? Like, that's kinda, yeah. I'm sure someone's debating in some room on how they want to handle that. But in the meantime, I will say the songs are great, and I think they're not celebrated enough. The songs in the movie are really good, and when I heard them, whenever I hear them, I'm just like, that's a great song.
Yeah, it's like turn it up immediately.
Yeah, I'm like, I want to go into the forest and ask myself philosophical questions like Pocahontas did. And the last one, and these are all kind of in the same period of Disney, but it's I Can Go the Distance, that song. When I hear it, it's just, I'm like, I can go the distance, whatever distance it is, whether it's just getting out of bed or, you know, becoming the president, like any challenge. If I hear that, I'm like, yeah, I can probably do it. It's just so good.
If that song is playing, I know I can do it. Yes.
Yeah. In the start of it, it starts so peaceful and it builds. And by the end, I'm just like, my heart is just soaring. Yeah. It's a song that they'll use sometimes in like the Disney fireworks shows.
Oh, really?
And it's an instant you hear it and you're like, well, I guess I'm going to cry a little bit. Because it's just, it's play, there's fireworks, you just had a good day with your family. So that song, I mean, I think there is even a card for I Can Go the Distance, and I think it should come with a sound chip because then everybody would play it.
Yeah, there's that card in Ruby, but then they also put one in Emerald for this set, Into the Inklands. I'll Find My Way. Yeah, and you can go to a location for free, you know?
Yeah. So it's okay, you know, and I just think you should make every set a card with this song.
Yes, just some lyric from this.
It's a perfect Disney song, in my opinion.
It's so perfect that's your number one, because that's my number three.
Okay, so yeah, let's start with your number three.
Oh, I lied. That's my number two, but we'll talk about it first because here we are. Go the Distance is such a good song, and all three of my songs are kind of sappy songs. Mm-hmm. I love the hype songs, and speaking of Hercules, I mean, the gospel music, like the gospel tunes, the vibe of it all, and the goddesses, you know, that are singing it, it's like so wonderful. It's such great music. But yeah, that the one song that kind of breaks that mold, I guess, is Go the Distance. I guess there's also the song that Meg sings that's still kind of gospel. I mean, the I don't know, what do they call it? What are the ladies called? Do you know what they're called?
The Muses.
Yes, exactly. Because they sing with her in her song. But Go the Distance is kind of like that. You know, they got like the French horn going and it's, it starts off so subtle and then it just builds.
I know. Yeah. People should study it. It's just a great song.
Great song.
Should be celebrated. So you're number three. We're going back and then we'll go forward.
Yes.
Again.
So we'll go to my number three, which again is like another sappy song that makes me like feel like a human again, which, you know, there's sometimes in life where you're just like so disassociated from yourself. But then I listen to Strangers Like Me from Tarzan. And I'm like, yes, I am a human and I love people and there are other people around me and I want to know the people around me. And that relationship to like playing Lorcana at League, like with other people, and the, I don't know, all of those thoughts kind of swirl around when I think about that song. I think about my wife, of course, and there's just something deeply like resonant about the fact that like I'm a person and I exist in this world with a whole lot of other people that have a whole lot of different stories than I do. And it's like, I want to know, you know, like that line that Phil Collins just like yells out, like, I want to know.
And I mean, you said the most important part, Phil Collins, he didn't have to go that hard for a movie.
As we've been saying for decades now, he did not have to go that hard.
Something that I'll bring up probably a lot because I'm so proud of it is I worked at Disney for 4 months doing like a little internship, and my friend would drive me to work, and he, like, I think 90% of the time we would listen to the soundtrack of Tarzan.
Oh, so good.
Like, we're going to work and I'm hyped. And you know, it's weird. It's kind of like the other songs I mentioned where, you know, I don't think Tarzan I'd ever say is one of my favorite movies. I mean, I like it, but the music is just like best.
Oh, it's
amazing.
An 11 out of 10, like every single time.
Yeah.
We have to get Tarzan and Lorcana. It has to come. I mean, I've seen some posts on this and stuff, and, you know, the Tarzan IP has some drama with it, I guess, and it's not really represented at the parks a whole lot, but I don't really know what Disney's relationship is to that movie. I don't know what Ravensburger's, like, allowed to do with it, but we have to get that in the game, right? I mean,
it
we have to.
Yeah. I was in Animal Kingdom and there was a Tarzan meet and greet. And you know, when you do meet and greets, you normally like hug the character, put your arm around them. And so instinctively I put my arm and I'm like, that is a half naked man that I just touched in it. Like my brain just immediately was like, oh no.
Oh gosh.
So there is Tarzan in the park. Yes. It is a man wearing a loincloth and tennis shoes.
Got some ripped dude to come and to be Tarzan for the day.
And then and I was like, that is different. It's different. It's different.
That's not a goofy costume,
So he is in the park. There is hope. Okay. And that's my aside on Tarzan. Okay. So your number one.
Oh, man. I got my fingers crossed. Okay. Yes. My number one. And I already mentioned it. I kind of spoiled it. But it's the title track from Beauty and the Beast. The first dance at my wedding. You know, a lot of these songs get me emotional. And that one gets me emotional. I wanted to bring it back to even Lilo and Stitch. Like when I, you know, there's the whole intro part with Stitch. And then he lands in Hawaii. And then the song like comes on. Where Lilo's like in the ocean giving Pudge the peanut butter sandwich and
Hawaiian roller coaster.
Well, I think that one's later when they're surfing.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still like the native Hawaiian music with that intro. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Like that gets me emotional. Like the intro to Lion King, like when I saw the live action Lion King when that came out a few years ago, I mean, you know, subpar movie, original Lion King's obviously way better. But just like the intro music, I was just like, yeah, this is so good. And so, yeah, Beauty and the Beast, like all of the songs from there. But particularly the title track when she's in her golden, you know, I don't know what Disney fans call it, like her gold dress, her yellow dress. And, you know, Beast is in his, I think it's a tuxedo. And it's just like, oh my gosh.
Very regal. It's a regal ensemble.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, no, that's a perfect, I mean, if you had to say like Disney scenes, that's it. It's them in the ballroom, listen to that song. That's all of it. It's the best that you can imagine.
So and I think that transitions into my top three cards because my number three card is Beast Tragic Hero. Oh. And that's, you know, Emo Beast as he's been lovingly called. He's looking over the balcony. He's in. I'm looking at it right now on my phone. He's in that tuxedo thing. I really should learn like whatever that's called. But the art on it is amazing. But then the card, you know, okay, so before I even get into our top three cards, like the cards can be awesome because of the art. The cards can be awesome because of the flavor. The cards can be awesome because of how good the card is. And this card like is a 10 out of 10 on all of those, you know?
Yes. And I mean, it tells a little bit of story too, because this is like, if it didn't end the way it did, you have Tragic Hero Beast and like he doesn't, you know, Belle didn't break the curse and now he's such a tragic, sad hero. Like what if she didn't come back at the end of the movie? You know, I think that's fun that they explore that, the what ifs of like, what if, I mean, apparently Cogsworth ages, which is tragic, thinking about an aging clock. So Tragic Hero is, I think, a perfect example of a Lurkana card that takes the story and then takes it a different way.
Yeah, like reimagines it for a little bit. That. Yeah, totally. So yeah, that's my number three card is Beast Tragic Hero. Great card. I mean, I think it's still the most expensive legendary that you can get on the singles market. So
it deserves
And it deserves it. Yeah. I mean, it goes in, it belongs in every steel deck. Like undoubtedly it will win you games. It will pull you back. If you're behind, if you're ahead, it'll keep you ahead. Like it's a very good card. Yeah. I just love it. My number two card, and this is a shout out to some of our homies at League. A bunch of us from Petri's went to a 1K in Denver in January. And like pretty much all of us ran Ruby Amethyst. You know, this was during Rise of the Floodborn and that was the dominant deck. So, you know, it was like me and Alec and Luke and Justin was there and Matt was there. I don't think they ran Ruby Amethyst though. But anyways, we were all like trying to hype each other up and like give each other feedback and everything. And my tech card was Peter Pan's Shadow, not sewn on. Yeah. So it's the Amethyst 4-cost uninkable card that has evasive and rush and it gives your rush characters evasive. And this card single-handedly allowed me to beat Alec when we went up against each other during the 1K.
And that's very impressive for those at home who don't know Alec. To beat him is
It doesn't happen often, but I was able to do it that time, so let's go. But yeah, I just feel like that card, Peter Pan's Shadow, became synonymous with Rise of the Floodborn for me. It was kind of like my tech card. And I know a lot of people were on that card before I even played it. So I'm not going to say like I trailblazed the card or anything like that. But I really enjoyed having that in my deck. Mm-hmm. So that was super fun. And at that 1K, I ended up getting top 8. So that felt really good. I didn't know if that would ever happen. But, you know,
It was fun to follow along at home. I didn't go to that one, but it was like, we're like, Caleb, give us updates. Because our little LGS, our local game store, Petri's, we all kind of will like follow each other.
Yeah.
Like, how'd you do? And so each round we're like, tell us, how's it going? And like the top eight had four people from our store.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it did. It was.
It felt like the Olympics where I'm like, my country's represented.
Yes, exactly. Or it might've been three of us. It was either three or four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I know Luke and Alec also made it playing Ruby Amethyst. And then I got smashed by a blue steel deck in the first round of top eight. But yeah, I ended up going 5-0 during the Swiss rounds and I ended first place going into top eight. And I was like, oh my gosh, like what is happening right now? I did not think this was going to happen. But yeah, that was cool. And then my number one card, and it's because of the flavor, so it is a Beauty and the Beast card. I just think this card is so good. I'm playing Ruby Sapphire right now, and I absolutely love this card. This card needs to go in every Sapphire deck, and it is Gaston, Intellectual Powerhouse. Six cost, uninkable, 4/4, quest for three. And when you play the card, you get to look at the top three cards of your deck and then put one of them into your hand. So he replaces himself, but you're also filtering your deck, but you don't have to discard the two cards that you don't use. You put them on the bottom of your deck, so you know they like could come back later. And he quests for three, so he's like this immediate threat. He's such a versatile card, and when you're playing like more control decks, like Sapphire likes to play these ramp control, whether it's with steel or whether it's with Ruby or anything else, he's such a good card. He's pretty much become a four of in any of my Sapphire decks at this point. I can't really explain how he became my number one card, but I would just say like that's where we're at. I just love the card so much.
And I think, I mean, anything that quests for three, I'm immediately like, I'm very interested. Yes. But then I think something that you didn't mention that I love is the art on this card. Because
so good.
It's so good that Gaston, he's smart now. And not only is he smart, but he still seems kind of a little simple. Because like if you look at the art on the chalkboard, it has, we get in the castle, beast dead, I kiss the girl. Like I just, it's so good. And I think that's something that's so fun is like, you like the card because it's good. But
the flavor.
Also,
like we were talking about.
I know.
And so, that's kind of, thank you for pointing that out. Cause I feel like the flavor on all of these is like on all three of mine. I don't know. They're pretty flavorful cards. Like both the Beast card and the Gaston card are like, what if? Like, yeah, what if the curse wasn't broken and Beast is a tragic hero for the rest of his life? Like, what if Gaston was actually smart, you know? And then for Peter Pan's Shadow, it's like, oh my gosh, what a deep cut. Like they gave, not only is there a Peter Pan card, but like his shadow. Gets a card, you know?
No. And it's a very cool looking card. I love the art on that one. And that's something that I think is so cool about Lurkana is all the different art styles on it. Now, one thing I'll call out, you had a rare, a legendary, and a super rare.
Yes.
My number three, we're going with a common. It's a common card. Simba Protective Cub. And
tremendous card.
I love a workhorse card. A card that like it's gonna be perfect in any scenario. It's so good in draft and limited. Yes. Having a bodyguard is just such a problem. And it's so funny having a problem that only costs two.
Yes.
And as I will get to my number one, but it synergizes perfectly with my number one. It's just a card that can be used. And it's so cute. Look at him.
I know.
So, and I feel bad that like your cards are like really good. And then this one, I'm like, I just like this little bodyguard. I like
it. Oh, it's such a good card though. I mean, I don't fault
any
you at
deck
all.
With Amber.
It crossed my mind. I was like, if we're going to do a Lion King themed podcast, I feel like one of my cards should be like a Lion King card. And if I did, it would be Simba Protective Cub, like 100%.
Yeah. I started Steel Song. I'm somebody where like, I feel if I play a deck, like Caleb talked about four different decks that he plays and I'm like, I'll play a deck for 4 months. Yeah. And so I played Steel Song for a very long time. And yeah, Simba, no matter what, always in the deck.
Speaking
of
Steel Song, I don't know if you remember the first time we ever played. This is back in like September or something. Like, you were playing Steel Song and you had Tinkerbell and I didn't. I don't even know what deck I was playing. And I just remember getting thrashed. You just wrecked me.
That deck was so dominant during the first chapter. Yeah. And I'm ready. I'm waiting for the comeback. I don't know. Steel Song, I haven't seen it in the top, but it's coming back.
I think it will.
Steel Song
I think
forever.
It will.
My number two, now we're bumping up. We're going from common to uncommon. And that is Merlin Goat. Mm. I love that card so much. It's another one where I love a card that's pretty simple in nature.
Yes.
But Goat has got me through so many endgame wins. My favorite is the Goat Snake combo where you're suddenly racking up lore by not even questing. It's funny to have a goat. And this one's a funny card to have as a favorite because this is another movie I haven't seen. I haven't seen Sword in the Stone.
Oh, man.
And so much of... Yeah. I love that. Rise of the Floodborne was very Sword in the Stone focused. Yes. But yeah, the goat. is the GOAT.
It's, he's the GOAT.
Both true. Yeah, I love him. Anything that's inkable and bounces around and ruins the other
person's you've
day.
Picked inkable cards, which is good for you. You know, two of my three were inkable. And
I'm going to ink it. And then my number one, not surprising to anyone, is Rockstar Stitch. It's such a good card. It's, you know, it's one of those cards where it was the meta. I feel like chapter one was a very, like, you had to have a Stitch Rockstar for Steel Song. I mean, I know some people didn't, but he was a very important card for a while. And now he's not as much. But I think it's such a fun card. Anything with card draw, I think, is great.
Yes.
So Stitch Rockstar plus Simba Protective Cub is just such a fun combo.
He's a tremendous build around card.
So much value.
For sure. Like, I would say Simba is like one of those, I don't know, you would have to have a really good reason not to include him in Amber decks. Whereas Rockstar Stitch, it doesn't belong in every Amber deck, but it, if you build around him, you can make a very powerful deck.
Yeah, you can get so much value out of him, which is just so fun. The three cards I picked are just cards where I think it's fun more cards that you can kind of adapt based on what you have in your hand. Depending on what you have in your hand, you can use them in so many different fun ways. So yeah, those are my current top three. Subject to
change. All of these, like I said, could change on a weekly, daily, hourly basis, you know?
Exactly.
So each week we like to turn the mic to you, our listeners, to see what questions you have about Disney and the world of Lorcana. This week we have a question from Sarah that reads, what future enchanted cards do you want to see in the game? So Katie, what kind of enchanteds have we not seen yet that you want to see?
And I love this question because enchanteds are such a fun, like when we talk about like, how do you enjoy the game? You know, it's like, I find it fun because I love a hunt.
Yes.
I think it's so fun. Enchanteds are a very cool thing. It's controversial because, I mean, obviously it can be frustrating that they're expensive. So one of the things that I think would be fun in the future is kind of like the Disney 100. Mm. I'd like to see games like Magic the Gathering will do things called like collector packs where it's really just designed on having fun versions of maybe past cards. Mm. So in the future, I'm hoping
that would be cool.
And it'd be fun to have, maybe it's not as rare. Sometimes they're more expensive.
Sure.
Like I absolutely almost passed out because my husband used to play Magic and we sometimes will play it. And I was at a local game store and I was like, oh, they have a collector pack. I'll take one. And they're like, that'll be $25. I was like, I didn't expect this. How could that happen? And I did. I couldn't back out.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. So I mean, I think it's still going to be, you know, interesting to see where they would set a price like that. But I think one of the things we've mentioned a few times is one of the things that makes Lorcana is the art. So I love to see, you know, as they move on, maybe not a re-release of the Enchanted, but new enchanteds from old sets.
Yeah.
And they're easier maybe to get. It's really hard to get enchanteds.
I know.
I don't want to scare anybody by how many boxes I've bought, but it's enough where I feel like I should have 1,000
yes,
enchanteds.
Yes, exactly.
And I don't.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be fun to have some way to get your hands on enchanted cards. Maybe still keep the booster box rate what it is. I wish it would be a little bit higher.
Same.
But a different way to get cool art cards in the hands of collectors. Primarily, I mean, famously among three people, only collect cute enchanteds.
Okay.
I've
traded a few to you, or maybe one at least.
Yeah. Because you had Alice, and we did the Simba Alice.
Yeah.
Plus, I think a Rapunzel.
And then you got me like a Rapunzel and a few Surfer Stitches. I was like, I need to fill up these.
And to me, it was worth it because I'm like, she's not a princess, but basically she's a girl in a Disney movie. So I'm like, yes, of course, get in here. So I love enchanteds. I think they're very fun. I hope to see more in the future. I'd love to see a Lilo enchanted. I think that'd be so fun.
We have to get a Lilo enchanted. Come on.
Yeah. And I don't have any loyalty to, I don't think enchanteds can only be legendaries or they can't be commons. I just think at the end of the day, enchanteds are pretty and nice to look at. And I think, I'm excited to see more. I think Caleb will speak upon my sadness of pulling a enchanted Pride Rock. Caleb likes that. So I think, you know, I don't want to say I don't want enchanted locations, but that has been interesting to see an enchanted of something that's an object.
Yeah.
But it's still cool. I mean, it's hard not to get excited. It's still like at the end of the day, I'm like, well, it's very shiny and I do like that. So it's, even
the
worst enchanted is still a pretty card.
And I think like principally, I'm not against enchanted locations. It's the what if of like, okay, I got enchanted Cusco's palace. Not against that, but what if it was Ursula or Jafar instead? You know, that's like the bummer part of it. Yeah, that's like the thing that you can't stop thinking about when it comes to that. So,
because lightning struck, but you're like, could it strike over there? Because that would be the one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, that's my goal, is more ways to get enchanted. Maybe in that case, I don't know if they're still called enchanteds at that point. I think the Disney 100s were called promos, not enchanted.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But either way, I want to see other ways to get them and in the hands of people.
I think the D100, what do they call those things? Not the gift sets. Yes. Yeah. The D100 gift set.
Yeah.
My hope is that they're kind of setting the standard that, like, maybe around holiday season every year, they're going to do something, you know, that's worth $50 instead of the $30. And every set gets a gift set, but the one around, you know, Christmas holiday times is maybe a little bit more and has more exclusive cards or something. Who knows?
Yeah, just something pretty to have in your collection. Yeah. So are there any specific ones that you're looking for? Like any character you're like, get me an enchanted of that?
Yeah, so there's one that came to mind pretty quick, and this is a bit of a zag. I haven't brought up this IP yet, but I desperately want an enchanted Pooh Bear.
Oh, yeah. Honey Wizard. Why? Like, how could they not do that?
The Honey Wizard? Like, oh. I know. It's like, yes, it was right there.
I would remortgage my house to get a Pooh Honey Wizard enchanted.
Yeah. So I know we'll get one at some point. That's just like another franchise that like is so deep to my heart. I resonate with the characters in that story, and it just is enchanting to me. And I love the Winnie the Pooh series and everything about it and the books. I remember like in third grade, I wrote a book report about the A.A. Milne, I think is how you say his name, who wrote the book, and just love Winnie the Pooh, and so really want a Pooh Bear. But I do also have kind of a gripe with one of the enchanteds, and I just need to vent this out for a little bit. Uh-huh. And this was brought to my attention at a sealed event that I did for Into the Inklands up in Denver when I was visiting some family. And one of the guys there was bemoaning the Peter Pan enchanted. And now this has nothing to do with the errata and like the the punctuation mark that shouldn't be there or whatever. That's beside the point. I don't really care about that. But what he said is he does not like the Peter Pan enchanted. And I was like, well, why not? Do you like not like Peter Pan or something? And he's like, oh no, I love Peter Pan. Like, Peter Pan is my favorite character. So I was like, what? Okay, then why do you not like, then why don't you like his enchanted? And he said, it's because he's in a pirate costume. And it dawned on me, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, why did they do that to him? Like, that's so like,
I know he became the one thing he swore to never be.
And I get the fact that Peter Pan pirate card exists in Ruby. Like, it's a decent card and that's fun and all, but if you're going to make an enchanted Peter Pan, he's got to be in his green tights. I mean, flying around, you know? So this is how I feel like Ravensburger could have fixed that, and I'm just going to say it out loud because I need to get it into the world. I also would have loved to have seen an enchanted Jim Hawkins. So the trade that I would have liked to have seen is, I love my boy Morph, but if we... So Morph doesn't get an enchanted, sadly. That is sad. But instead of a ruby enchanted Peter Pan, we get the emerald Peter Pan. That's a rare card that, you know, when he moves to a location, you get the lore at that location. If that could have been Peter Pan's enchanted for this set, and then Jim Hawkins could have gotten an enchanted in ruby.
Because I mean, Morph is an interesting choice for an enchanted.
Yeah, I know, and he's adorable. It looks like a chewed up ball of gum. Like when I think of a Pooh Bear enchanted, like I was talking about earlier, it would have the vibes of Morph of like, this is just adorable. That's true. You know, so I feel like that feels like a fair trade. Like, Peter Pan gets an enchanted in his green costume, and then we also get Jim Hawkins, still Treasure Planet instead of Morph. You know, that's still three enchanteds for Emerald, three for Ruby. So I don't know. That was just, that's my little conspiracy.
Yeah. I mean, and I think, you're called a conspiracy, and I think another term we can call this armchair Illumineering.
Yes, that's exactly.
In the Disney world,
they have
I've heard armchair Imagineer, but we're Illumineers in this case. You know, I'm happy. Ravensburger, you're doing great.
You are.
I love it.
You really are.
But come on.
You got some armchair Illumineers here who have some good ideas.
Yeah, right.
Just saying.
Put me in, coach. So yeah, I can't help but to love the enchanted. So I think more Give me more. I think, yeah, that was sad in this set where they're like, there's 18 enchanted. And so we're on our Discord. Yeah. We're like, that means everyone's going to get an enchanted now. And I was so happy. I bought a sealed case, 4 booster boxes. I'm like, statistically, I got an enchanted in here. And I didn't.
That's a bummer.
It could be.
That's a whiff.
But I mean, it sounds like, universally, it sounds like people are not getting enchanted at the rate they would hope. So that's my, I don't think there has to be one in every booster box.
Yeah,
it
I agree.
Is fun to have some bit of mystery, but I want a little bit more.
Yes, exactly. This is the best set for me as far as enchanteds go. I opened 0 for the first chapter. I got 1 for Floodborn, which was that Alice. And then I've opened 4 enchanteds for Inklands. I opened Robin Hood, Captain Hook, RLS Legacy, and Cusco's Palace. So
that's exciting.
So, you know.
I mean, any enchant is a good enchanted.
Yes.
I used up all my luck in first chapter. People were starting rumors. I seemed like I...
Yeah. You were the enchanted whisperer. You just knew.
I was. And so it's hard because then people are like, oh, you're the enchanted girl. I was like, yeah, right. I haven't pulled enchanted in so
long. That lasted for 6 weeks. And then
I know,
it ended.
But I did... I pulled in an Elsa, and I was like, well, that's it.
Oh,
I peaked.
My gosh.
I can't do better than this.
I can't believe you got the Elsa. And you pulled a Stitch, right? I mean.
I did. I pulled 2 Surfer Stitches. Something was happening. And then the Lorcana powers that be, they saw, and they're like, no more.
Hey, but if
and
you're so, going to peak with enchanted luck during the first chapter, I mean, we
take
that.
That's true. Yes. I accept it. Yeah. I will not complain, only mildly furrow my brow.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, thank you for your question, Sarah. We love answering these questions. So if you ever have any questions, and it could be anything about, you know, Lorcana, the meta, things that you like to see, our opinion. So
Disney
any
stuff,
questions you have.
You know, the relationship between Disney stuff and Lorcana, like questions all about that kind of stuff.
Get me talking about Duffy the Disney Bear, and it's going to be a 2-hour episode.
Sounds
I know.
Like
so just it's ready.
Formed.
Push the button.
Yeah.
I know. So feel free to email us your questions@HakunaLorcanaPod.com. Or you can reach us on Twitter @HakunaLorcana. And we'll have all our socials linked in the footnotes. So that way you can contact us with your question. And if your question is selected, we will send you an exclusive Hakuna Lorcana sticker for you to show off to your friends and league mates.
These stickers are cool.
I know. I'm so excited. I'm just going to have a water bottle with 20 stickers and it's all
that
one.
Yes, exactly.
So that's my plan for that.
So next week we're going to be talking about movies. That's like the main thing. I think, Katie, you mentioned that earlier. This top three thing is not normal. It's just kind of for our episode 0. So next week is episode 1, and there's only one movie we could talk about for the first episode of this podcast, and we're going to be talking about The Lion King. So once you are done watching the Eras Tour on Disney Plus, make sure that you turn on The Lion King. You know, make sure, I mean, if you really wanted to, you could turn on Lion King 2. You could turn on Lion King 1.5. You could turn on Timon and Pumbaa. Uh-huh. The TV show from back in the day, and relive the African safari glory that is The Lion King with us.
The Lion King extended universe is more vast than you,
than you may
until
realize.
You
yes,
on Disney.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And we need,
I mean, there's even a live action.
Yes, there's a live action one. Exactly. You can listen to the music in your car. I mean, there's so many ways that you could relive your love for The Lion King. So be sure to do that. And so as always, thank you for hanging out with us today. And remember, Hakuna Lorcana means no worries.